there earlier.
Yep. So I just want to quickly, I don't want to take any of Dr. Doug's time, but I just want to explain what we're doing and why we're talking about individuality and balance that's not related to probiotics before the session. And that's because this is one of the weekly member, Holistic Actions member Empower Hours that are designed to break down the body so you can understand it, your pet's bodies, and then reconnect the way their bodies work and everything that's known in science and research and conventional medicine, reconnect that with the healing. Because, you know, conventional medicine is only one piece of the puzzle. You need to use it to inform your decision about what you do next. And tonight's session, Dr. Shambro is going to introduce right now.
Wonderful. So did you want to say anything about the Empower Hour, or you want to wait till the very end?
No, just
that we were going to talk about the member benefits and all that.
Nope. We're okay. Just what I just said, I think, covers it.
Okay. So I am tickled pink to have Doug Knieven with us. I've known Doug over the decades because he has been very active in the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. He's been on the speaker committee. He's a regular speaker at the conference, especially at the introductory levels. And interestingly enough, something I just learned, Dr. Doug, that I didn't know, is he grew up in a Cincinnati suburb called Mount Healthy.
Isn't that appropriate?
I love
That's
it.
Awesome.
Oh, that is so wonderful. You had to become a holistic vet.
That's right.
So he graduated from Ohio State University in 87. There you go. A little bit later than I graduated. And he's certified in acupuncture, Chinese herbs, chiropractic, but he's studied a lot of the other modalities and integrates them into his wonderful practice, which is just north of Pittsburgh. And he's written two books, one called Stand By Me, a holistic handbook for animals, their people, and the lives they share together, as well as the Holistic Health Guide. He's written articles as I was editor for IVC. I loved working with him for the articles he wrote for us. He was great to work with. And so I am tickled pink to hear more and learn more. Take it away, Dr. Doug.
All right. Let's see if I can find my PowerPoint.
Have to hit the green button. The share button at the bottom of this. Yep, perfect.
And that's getting good. Yes. All right. Hello, everyone. And I'm so glad that I could be here with you this evening to talk about probiotics, one of my favorite nutrients. I'm going to call them nutrients. You might call them supplements, but at the very end of the lecture, I'll explain why I think they are actually missing nutrients in our pets' diets. So my name is Dr. Doug Knieven, and I am a holistic vet, but I wasn't born that way. I actually, as Christina said, I grew up in a suburb north of Cincinnati. I went to Ohio State University, and after I graduated, I came out with my syringes in one hand and my bottles of pills in the other hand, and I was going out there to cure the animals. And then I ran into something that I was not expecting. I'm sure some of you may have experienced this too. It's something called the real world. And I quickly found out that things didn't always go the way the books said they should go. You know, I would give a drug, and instead of the animal getting better, they would have side effects. Or sometimes the opposite would happen. This dog is supposed to be dead according to the books, and somehow they would resurrect and come back and stronger than ever. And I realized pretty soon that there had to be more to health and healing than what I learned about in veterinary school. And that started me on to the road of holistic medicine that I went down, and, you know, learning about acupuncture and chiropractic and Chinese herbs and nutrition. And I'm going to be sharing some of these nuggets with you tonight. So as far as probiotics go, what I want to show you this evening is that probiotics can help our pets fight bad bacteria. They can help with what we call leaky gut, which can lead to inflammation and autoimmune disease. They can help the immune system function better and actually help to alleviate allergies. They can help with the gut-brain axis, which means that they can have an effect on behavior. They actually have been shown to help with metabolism and even to have an effect on obesity. The bacteria in the intestine actually act as a detox organ, and so much more. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about the background of probiotics and also the microbiome. And our story about probiotics begins with Eli Metchnikoff, who was a Russian-born biologist. He discovered the importance of white blood cells. In 1908, he won the Nobel Prize in Medicine. And along the way, he noticed that farmers in the countryside, peasants, actually seemed to be healthier than city dwellers. And he also realized that these farmers consumed a lot of fermented foods. And somehow he reasoned that it was the bacteria in the fermented foods that promoted health in these farmers. Eli is considered the father of natural immunity, and he's known to have said that death begins in the colon. And he was a strong advocate that the good bacteria needed to outnumber the bad bacteria. So the microbiome, this is a word that we're hearing more about today. According to research, the intestinal microbiota is a collection of the living microorganisms, bacteria, fungi, protozoa, and viruses inhabiting the gastrointestinal tract. So microbiota is looking at just the organisms. The microbiome is the organisms, them living together, and the environment itself. So according to Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, all disease begins in the gut. We have over 100 trillion microbes in our intestines. And for a person, that's enough to fill a half-gallon jug. There are 10 times more bacterial cells in our bodies than there are host cells, which means that on a cellular level, we are actually more bacterial than we are human. There are 100 to 150 times the number of host genes. The bacteria in the gut have 100 to 150 times more genes than the host themselves do. There are thousands of bacterial species and strains. The host interaction with the bacteria and the genes all play a part in overall health. And microbiomes are extremely unique. Even identical twins can have distinct different microbiomes. So there are 500 cultivatable species. They use modern techniques looking at RNA sequencing, and they found even 1,000 more species of bacteria in the gut. And this microbial community varies quantitatively and qualitatively along the different environments from the stomach, small intestine, and large intestines. So what this means is that each area of the digestive tract has different bacteria, different numbers of bacteria, different species of bacteria. And that's why I think it's important for probiotics to actually contain a number of different bacteria, not just one species of one bacteria. So according to research, this complex community is metabolically active and contributes to homeostasis. You know what, Jeff? I just realized that I got the wrong program up here. This is the one before I deleted some of the slides.
Okay, that should be fine.
Let's see if I can do a new share.
I'm just glad you're pausing for a second, because you know the equilibrium, the homeostasis that Dr. Doug is talking about, that's balance. That's the balance that we're always talking about. And there are two kinds of balance. There's a physical balance, things like the balance of the bacteria in the intestinal tract with the microbiome, balance of the hormones, balance of physiologic functions, and then there's the energetic balance. The one balance that allows the others to all function properly. And you know, are you all set?
Yes.
Okay.
And thanks for that little interlude there. Thank you, Jeff.
Sorry.
So the microbiome functions to further break down foods and liberate more nutrients. They manufacture several vitamins like vitamin B and vitamin K. They can competitively inhibit disease-causing bacteria. And they actually, these bacteria nourish the cells, the lining cells, which are called enterocytes, along the intestinal lining by producing short-chain fatty acids. And by doing that, they maintain the integrity of the intestinal lining, and they protect the body from inflammation that can be caused by leaky gut syndrome. And we're going to be talking about that in more detail in just a minute. The microbiome affects the immune system. It affects brain chemistry and structure. And the microbiome itself acts as a detox organ, and imbalances in the microbiome can stress the liver. To really understand this, you need to understand a little bit about anatomy, in that the blood supply that goes from the intestines, so the venous blood supply from the intestines and the stomach, go directly to the liver. So if there's a problem in the gut, and especially if there's a problem with the gut microbiome, and toxins get into the bloodstream, the first thing those toxins hit is the liver. And that's, you know, the liver is, that's what it's made for. It's made to kind of take care of any extraneous toxins that enter the body through the intestine. But again, if the microbiome is unbalanced, then the liver can become especially stressed because it's not made to take too many toxins all at one time. So microbes act as a defending barrier against invading pathogens. They aid in digestion, they provide nutritional support for enterocytes, and they play a crucial role in the development of the immune system. Of significance for gastrointestinal health is their ability to ferment dietary substrates into short-chain fatty acids, and those are what feed the enterocytes and keep them healthy. According to researchers, they're now considering the microbiome itself as kind of an independent organ in the body, which is every bit as important as the liver, the kidneys, the heart, and so forth. So it's a critical organ, and it's important to keep this healthy. As far as the dog microbiome goes, the symbiotic relationship that exists between GI microbes and the host is critical for proper function of nutritional, developmental, immunological, and physiological processes in animals, and thus contributes to host health. So you can see all of these different studies are kind of coming to the same conclusions. But, dun dun dun, enters the bad guys. So I'm sure that by now we all know that antibiotics can have bad side effects. And one of those side effects is that it can unbalance the microflora of the body, including the microbiome of the intestine. And so that's one of the problems that antibiotics can cause. But I'm here to tell you that it's not just antibiotics. In this study, they were looking at people, 155 adults. They looked at what drugs they had used in the last 30 days, and then they looked at what bacteria were coming out in their stool. And what they found was that basically they could tell which medications the people were taking based on what bacteria were in their intestines. So each type of drug caused a different problem with the intestinal microflora. It's so incredible. So everything that goes into an animal's mouth can screw up their gut bacteria, and that causes problems. The problem has been called by this name, dysbiosis. So dysbiosis means that GI microbial bacteria there are imbalanced, and there's a maladaption. They're the wrong bacteria are there, and it's not able to do its job. Another part of dysbiosis is that there's a decrease in the diversity of bacteria. So it's kind of like any ecosystem. The more diverse the ecosystem is, the healthier it is. And that same thing is true for the gut, and any kind of medication can throw that off. Consequences of dysbiosis are that altered gut microbial ecosystems have been associated with increased metabolic and immune disorders in animals and humans. So they're looking at molecular interactions linking gut microbiota with host energy metabolism, lipid accumulation, and immunity. In fact, in people, dysbiosis has been linked to obesity, diabetes mellitus, schizophrenia, autistic disorders, anxiety disorders, and major depressive disorders. Dun, da, da, dum. In come the good guys. The good guys are the probiotics. The word probiotics literally means for life. So the definition is that these are live microorganisms which, when administered in adequate amounts, confer a health benefit on the host. And one of the keys is the adequate amounts. You need to make sure that you have enough of these bacteria in the supplement to make a difference. According to research for people, that ends up being between 5 and 10 times 10 to the 9th CFUs. Now, 10 to the 9th means that it's a 1 with 9 zeros behind it. And CFU stands for colony forming units. It's a unit of measurement for viable bacteria. So for people, it's 5 to 10 times 10 to the 9th. For animals, it's 1 times 10 to the 8th CFUs that you should be looking for to be sure that you have adequate numbers of bacteria to have the positive effect. The most common microorganisms for people are Lactobacillus and Bifidobacterium. For animals, it's Bacillus enterococcus, Lactobacillus, Aspergillus, and Sarcomyces. Now, we need to talk about a couple of other terms. I'm sure we've all heard of prebiotics. Basically, prebiotics are food for the probiotics. So it's what the probiotics need to be stimulated in their growth and to be robust. So they end up being substrates for probiotic bacterial fermentation in the colon. And again, these a lot of times are either long or short chain oligosaccharides. An example of that would be inulin. Now, another word that you may not be as familiar with is synbiotics. And synbiotics are supplements that contain both probiotics and prebiotics. So we'll get through those quick definitions there. So how do probiotics affect the microbiome? Well, here's a study. It's kind of interesting. They fed 7 dogs this strains of probiotics. The administered strains disappeared within 7 days after they were discontinued. Well, that doesn't sound very good. I mean, if you're just giving them and they disappear within 7 days. But what they found was that even though the original bacteria had died off, there was a sustained change in the population of the indigenous lactic acid producing bacteria in the jejunal contents, with native Lactobacillus acidophilus strains predominating. So in other words, probiotics have the ability to modify the intestinal microbiota. Even if the probiotic bacteria themselves become eliminated, they could still have long-term effects on the microbiome of the animal. So what about probiotic effects on healthy dogs? In this one, they were given Lactobacillus acidophilus. That was associated with increased number of fecal lactobacilli and decreased numbers of bad bacteria like Clostridium. But also there was a significant increase in red blood cells, in the hematocrit, which is a measure of red blood cells, hemoglobin concentration, neutrophils, monocytes, serum immunoglobulin G, and reductions in red blood cell fragility, which means they're stronger, and serum nitrous oxide, which is a measure of bodily inflammation. So it's these probiotics are having systemic effects well beyond what it's doing in the gut itself. If we look at a study in cats were given Lactobacillus acidophilus, 15 healthy cats were in the study. There were decreased populations of the bad bacteria. The white blood cells, which are granulocyte and eosinophils, were doing better, and erythrocyte fragility and plasma endotoxin concentrations decreased. So the red blood cells were stronger and there were less toxins in the system just by giving some probiotics. Feeding studies with Lactobacillus acidophilus probiotic have shown positive effects on the carriage of Clostridium in canines and recovery from Campylobacter in felines. And in both species, the immune function was improved. Let's look a little bit at dysbiosis and GI inflammation. So with chronic GI issues, such as inflammatory bowel disease, these kind of problems are associated with alterations in the microbiome, so dysbiosis. And they're finding that this causes susceptibilities in the innate immune systems of dogs and cats with inflammatory bowel disease. So their immune systems are being impaired because the inflammation from the intestine is actually causing the microbiome to be unbalanced. So alterations in the microbiota may affect host immune system balance and lead to increased translocation of bacterial antigens towards metabolically active tissue. So we're talking now about leaky gut syndrome. And what they know is that this would result in chronic inflammatory state and impaired metabolic functions. So let's look at this a little more closely. What we mean by leaky gut syndrome is basically these bad bacteria, this unbalanced microbiome, can cause an increase in intestinal permeability, meaning that things that should not be getting through this barrier are getting through the barrier. This is being caused because there's an impairment of the tight junctions. And I'm going to show a picture of this in just a minute. The tight junctions are what join the lining cells, the enterocytes, together. And so if these tight junctions are impaired, it means that the bonds between these cells that line the inside of the intestine are broken down. And that can allow certain bacteria and toxins to pass into the systemic circulation. And we know that certain probiotic bacteria can actually help strengthen these tight junctions. So a leaky gut may be the cutting edge for the passage of toxins, antigens, or bacteria into the body and may play a pathogenic role in the advanced liver cirrhosis and its complications. So again, remember that the venous blood supply from the intestines, the first place that goes is to the liver. And whenever we mess with the gut, we're going to be messing with the liver. So let's look at what leaky gut looks like. If you look on the right side of this slide, you can see a healthy gut, and you can see that the tight junctions are being pointed out. So this is healthy, and the stuff that's inside the gut stays in the gut, and the stuff that isn't supposed to see any of that doesn't see any of that. If we go to the right side, this is what happens with dysbiosis, when we have an imbalance in the intestinal microbiome. What happens is those tight junctions break down. And now you can see that stuff that's supposed to stay inside the intestine is actually leaking between these cells and getting into the bloodstream. And that's what can really cause a lot of the problems. So consequences of leaky gut, according to research, a fast-growing number of diseases, including autoimmune diseases, are recognized to involve alterations in intestinal permeability related to the tight junction competency. The induction of an immune response to the microbial antigens results in a cross-reaction with self-antigens and the induction of autoimmunity. So let me explain that a little bit further. The molecules on the surface of some of these bacteria and intestinal contents can be very similar to the molecules on the surface of the cells of the body. And so when the immune system gets abnormally exposed to these antigens, these surface molecules on these bacterial cells, it can fool the immune system into actually attacking cells of its own body. And that's what we mean by autoimmune disease. So basically what I'm saying is that with leaky gut syndrome, the immune system sees something that it was never meant to see. And we all know that once you see something that you were never meant to see, you cannot unsee it. This was me as the Hawaiian Santa Claus at our Christmas party for our office. And you can see the one woman in the background is actually trying to gouge her eyes out so she doesn't have to continue looking at me. But let's move along. Now, see, Jeff, you were concerned that people wouldn't be able to see me because I don't have a camera on my computer. Now they have seen me. So there you go. So probiotics and leaky gut, there are multiple studies that show that probiotics can decrease intestinal permeability. And we'll just leave it at that. Probiotics can help with leaky gut. Let's talk about the immune system. GALT stands for gut-associated lymphoid tissue. And this tissue is responsible for 70 to 80% of the immune system. So that means that 70 to 80% of the immune system is in the lining of the intestine. And that means that the intestine is the largest organ of the immune system. And we know from multiple studies that probiotic bacteria can affect the systemic immune system through this tissue. So in this study, 14 puppies, half of them were given a probiotic from weaning to 1 year of age. What they found was that the serum IgA concentration was higher. So that's an antibody to help fight off infections. The response to the distemper vaccination was stronger. So they had higher titers. And there was a greater proportion of mature B cells, which is a type of lymphocyte that fights off infection. So just by giving probiotics, we improved the immune system. And from my perspective, an allergy is just a symptom of a sick immune system. It's the immune system reacting to something that it shouldn't react to. And again, multiple studies show that probiotics can prevent and or treat food and atopic allergies. One study in particular in dogs. In this one, puppies were given a probiotic before 6 months of age. They found that there was a decrease in the allergen-specific IgE, so they were less triggered to respond to allergens. They found that these probiotics partially prevented atopic dermatitis in the first 6 months, so it actually decreased the incidence of allergies. But not just that, they did a 3-year follow-up. So these animals may or may not have gotten probiotics after 6 months of age, but still 3 years later, they found that they had less of an allergic response than dogs that were not given the probiotics at that age. So this is perhaps a lifelong improvement in the immune system such that it's less prone to develop allergies. There are also studies that found that gut microbes are involved with the immunopathogenesis, with the development of diabetes mellitus, and probiotics strengthened the host intestinal barrier and modulated the immune system and actually helped to decrease the prevalence of diabetes mellitus. So that's the immune system. Let's move on to the brain. There is something called the microbiota gut-brain axis. So gut microbiome is an increasingly recognized environmental factor that can shape the brain through the microbiota gut-brain axis. They found that the microbiomes of major depressive disorder people, so MDD is major depressive disorder patients, and healthy controls were significantly different. So the bacteria in their guts were different. What they did was they took the bacteria from the depressed people and put them in GF mice, that stands for germ-free mice. These are mice that have no microbiome whatsoever. They put the depressed people's microbiome into the germ-free mice, and the mice developed depression-like behaviors. When they did the same thing with healthy microbiota, the mice did not have that kind of reaction. And the bottom line on this study was that the study demonstrates that dysbiosis of the gut microbiome may have a causal role in the development of depressive-like behaviors. So it wasn't that the microbiome being unbalanced was a result of depression. It was the microbiome being alterated causing the depressive-like behaviors. And they're saying that this is being mediated through the host metabolism. So one way that the microbiome can affect the brain is through the body's metabolism. But here's another thing. They find that gut microorganisms are capable of producing and delivering neuroactive substances such as serotonin and GABA, which act on the gut-brain axis. So certain probiotics have antidepressant and anxiolytic activities. They help with anxiety because they can produce the same chemicals that we try to produce when we're giving drugs like SSRI inhibitors. Is that what it is? SSRI? Anyway, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Prozac, Paxil.
Yeah, thank you. Prozac, Paxil, all of those drugs that everybody's anxious to take. You can get the same effects. You can get the same effects by taking probiotics, basically, is what that study is saying. In this study, they looked at rats that were chronically treated with a specific probiotic. They found that it attenuated the pro-inflammatory immune responses, so it decreased inflammation throughout the body. And there was an elevation in the serotonergic precursor, tryptophan. So tryptophan is a compound that gets converted into serotonin, and it can be increased by certain probiotics. So this probiotic may possess antidepressant properties. In this one, there was chronic administration of a probiotic to mice. They found that the mice had reduced levels of anxiety and depression-like behavior, and it induced changes in the GABAergic system in regions of the brain known to involve these behaviors. This study found that if they transected the vagus nerve, so vagotomy means that we're cutting the vagus nerve, and if they cut that nerve, it prevented the effects of the probiotics. So basically, these probiotics were communicating with the brain through the vagus nerve. So if we back up and look at these gut microbiota brain axis studies, one showed that there's an effect from the microbiome through metabolic pathways. Two of them actually found that there was an effect because of brain signaling molecules. And another one found that there was direct communication through the nervous system from the bacteria in the gut to the brain. That just blows me away. So let's move on to another topic, obesity. Well, this is such a fun study. So there were four sets of human twins. In each of these sets, one twin was obese and the other one was lean. They did fecal transplants. So they took the bacteria from these humans and put them into germ-free mice. They found that the mice that got bacteria from the lean twin themselves became thin, and mice that got the microbiome transfer from the obese twin, those mice became obese. So think about this. When I was in veterinary school, I learned basically calories in equals calories out. You know, the more calories you eat, the fatter you're going to get. According to this study, it's not quite that simple. The balance of bacteria in the gut may be more responsible for being lean or obese than the food that we eat. So there was a fecal transplant from conventionally raised mice into germ-free mice. So again, these were mice that had no bacterial contents in their guts. What they found was that there was a 60% increase in body fat content and insulin resistance within 14 days, despite reduced food intake. So basically, these germ-free mice, their metabolisms were set up to not have the bacteria helping them absorb their food. And so when they got a healthy microbiome, it actually caused all kinds of problems because their body wasn't ready to handle it. According to the researchers, our findings suggest that the gut microbiota is an important environmental factor that affects energy harvest from the diet and energy storage in the host. Wow. I mean, that just blows me away. It seems like everything I learned in veterinary school has been disproven in the last 10 years or so. There was a study in people where they looked at patients with acute pancreatitis. Some of them got probiotics. The other ones got placebo. The ones that got probiotics did much better. They had less sepsis, which means infection throughout their bloodstream, and then they had less number of surgical interventions. There was a similar study in dogs. I didn't put it in this, but it came basically to the same conclusion. Probiotics for urinary tract infections. In this study, they looked at probiotics versus four different bacteria that can cause urinary tract infections in infants. And basically what they found was that lactobacillus strains had similar moderate antimicrobial activities against uropathogens. So this could be a way of keeping the urinary tract healthy for people and for animals. Oh, this is an interesting study. This looked at people in China and whether or not they were eating fermented milk products. And they found that it was strongly suggested that the habitual intake of lactic acid bacteria reduces the risk of bladder cancer. So we're talking anti-cancer effects now. And the way that works is that the probiotic bacteria can actually get rid of the toxins that are in our food. And that can help reduce the likelihood of cancer. So my premise of this talk is that probiotics are nutrients. And according to Stedman's Medical Dictionary, a nutrient is a constituent of food necessary for normal physiological function. An essential nutrient is a nutritional substance required for optimal health. These must be in the diet because they are not formed metabolically within the body. I think that probiotics fits this picture. Now, you might say, wait a minute. This says that a nutrient is a constituent of food, and bacteria aren't a normal part of food. Well, they're not a normal part of the diets that we're feeding animals today because we're feeding them sterilized, processed food. But the ancestors of our dogs were getting bacteria with every bite of food they ate. I mean, sometimes they were eating dead animals. If they ate part of an animal, they would bury it for a while and then dig it up later to re-eat it. And so they were getting bacteria. It's normal for animals to get bacteria in their diet. I believe that probiotics should be an essential nutrient, just like vitamin A and vitamin B. So the health and well-being of companion animals, just as their owners, depends on the gut microbes. Specific probiotic strains and or their defined combinations may be useful in the canine and feline nutrition, therapy, and care. So I'm finding experts that are actually agreeing with me that these are nutrients. Now, if you were paying close attention to all these studies that I've been flipping up here, you'll notice that I'm using the word probiotics, but probiotics is a broad term. Each one of those studies was talking about different bacteria. And to me, it makes sense if we want to reestablish a balanced microbiome, we want to use probiotic mixtures. And according to this study, probiotic mixtures appear to be effective against a wide range of endpoints. Based on a limited number of studies, multi-strain probiotics appear to show greater efficacy than single strains. I think that's really important to understand. Now, someone before the conference had asked me about how can you tell whether a probiotic is good or not? And I have to tell you that unless you have a microbiology lab in your kitchen, I don't think there's any good way that you can tell. There was a study done in 2011. They looked at 25 commercial animal probiotic products. They found that 7 of these products misspelled the microbe names on the label. Now, how many of you would take a drug if the label had the name of the drug misspelled? And there's got to be something wrong with that. 4 did not list specific microorganisms. Apparently, they just said, hey, there's good stuff in here. 10 did not list the expected CFUs, so you had no idea how many bacteria you were giving. 4 out of 15 that did list the CFUs met label claims. So only 4 out of 15 actually had the kind of bacteria and the number of bacteria that the label said were in there. And the bottom line was that if you take all of those criteria together, only 2 out of the 25 had proper label and met label claims. So this leads us to a problem. We really can't tell with any supplement. I mean, we're looking specifically at probiotics, but I would say this could hold true for just about any animal supplement. You can't tell by looking at the label for sure what's actually in the bottle. Now, there is one way to look at this. There's an organization called the National Animal Supplement Council, and this seal at the bottom of the slide is what you should look for. This is a nonprofit industry trade association and animal advocacy group. The members are subject to ongoing quality review and monitoring. So whenever someone comes to me, you know, I'm a holistic vet because people come to me with a whole list of supplements that they're already giving their animals. And so a lot of times people come in with a big bag or box of supplements and they ask me, is this any good? And unless I see the seal on the label, I can't be sure. It could be that that supplement is great or it could be total garbage. And so this seal, I think, can help us all. Now, just because the product doesn't have the seal doesn't mean that it's not good. It's just you can't tell by looking at the seal. So I have this very simple summary slide I'd like to put up. If we start on the left side, probiotics can help with detox, that can help with cancer. If we go straight up, it helps with the enterocytes and tight junctions, that can help with inflammatory bowel disease, it can help with inflammation. If we move over to the right, it helps with nutrients. That can have an effect on obesity and overall health. If we go farther to the right, we have the gut-associated lymphoid tissue. That can have an effect on the immune system, which can have an effect on health and allergies. Probiotics affect the vagus nerve, which can affect brain and behavior. Probiotics can produce neuroactive chemicals. Probiotics can decrease pathogenic bacteria that can help with diarrhea. That's like the most basic thing that probiotics can do. But then if you put all of those together, we see that the immune system affects cancer, obesity affects inflammation, and basically everything affects everything. So the bottom line is, I think that probiotics are important. And people have also asked me about different probiotics that I tend to use. One of the ones that I think that I've had probably the most experience with is Vetri Mega Probiotic by Vetri Science. I also use RX Biotic, which is by RX Vitamins. Nutrigest is actually a combination of probiotics and other nutrients that can help heal the intestinal lining. So it's great for leaky gut syndrome. Acetylator is another combination of probiotics and supplements that are good for the intestine. And, you know, I almost hate to put a Purina product in here, but I have to confess that this is on my shelf. Now, Fortiflora is one strain of one bacteria. Probably the biggest thing I use Fortiflora for is that it actually has a lot of flavor enhancers in it. And so if an animal's not eating and they might benefit from, you know, a good bacteria in their gut, I'll whip out the Fortiflora. There's a supplement out there from, I can't remember the name of the company.
veterinary recommended solutions.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Veterinary recommended solutions, Entero True Benefits. The thing that's unique about this probiotic is it contains, one of the probiotics it contains, this Streptococcus salivarius, is one that's for the mouth microbiome. So if you have an animal that is prone to dental tartar, I think that this probiotic can help. I have only been using it for about a year, but I have had clients tell me that when they started using it, their animal's breath was better. And then a brand new probiotic out there, again by Purina, not one of my necessarily favorite nutritional companies, but they actually, you know, we talked about how probiotic bacteria, specific species of probiotic bacteria can have an effect on the brain. Well, this one can help with anxiety. And I've only had this one for a month or so now, and I've already had some good results with it for animals that are generally anxious. So those are a few of the, those are most of the probiotics I have in my clinic, the ones that I use most commonly and some of the unique ones. And from there, I would like to go ahead and open it up to questions.
Sure. Wonderful.
Would you ask Sarah's question first?
Would you just click on the unshare the screen, Dr. Doug?
Okay.
Click on your green button.
It's at the bottom. Stop. The bottom. On the bottom of your screen.
The one you originally clicked on.
Yeah, I don't see that at the bottom. I see stop share at the top.
Yes. Oh, yep. Oh good. Use that one. Yep.
Okay, there you are. How's that?
Great.
Perfect.
Very good.
Okay. So while we're on this topic of which ones we use, I want to mention, I wonder, have you ever checked out Mitomax from the Imagilin company?
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. The thing I like about that one is in the Consumer Reports, it met all the criteria. And it is, the organism is Pediococcus acidolactyli.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
It took me about 2 years to learn how to do that. And it is used as a food stabilizer. Therefore, you don't have to worry if it got mishandled in transit or mishandled at the store or on your own, you know, if you didn't put it in the fridge, it doesn't need refrigeration.
Huh.
And they also have lactobacillus, I think, in it. But the main thing is the Pediococcus acidolactyli, and they've done studies in Japan that showed that dogs who were on steroids for inflammatory bowel disease were able to decrease the steroid dose by 80 to 90%.
Cool. What was the name of the company again? It was Mitomax.
Mitomax is the product, and it's Imagilin, I-M-A-G, I don't know, I-L-A-N. And they have products for people called Nutritot, and they also have them for birds and horses. Hmm. As well. And they have a new product for dogs where they've taken apples, dehydrated apples, freeze-dried apples, and impregnated them with the Pediococcus acidolactyli.
Wow. So you
feed them as a treat. I've been eating them in my car for the last couple of months. they were at the last AHA, HMA conference.
Oh, I missed that one. Well, thanks for sharing that.
And then Cassandra had a question that I had as well, which was, are you familiar with Answers fermented goat's milk?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of Answers. They're right here in Pennsylvania. So, yes. I really think that getting probiotics from fermented foods makes more sense than getting it from supplements. So, the goat's milk I use commonly, and also they have a cow's milk kefir. And their food itself is fermented, so it has probiotic bacteria in it.
So, would you say that the first thing maybe for anybody to do in terms of a probiotic might be just to start by feeding local goat's milk that wasn't even fermented? Because I've heard goat's milk has a huge number of organisms.
I've heard that too. Now, I guess, I mean, the Answers product is actually fermented, so it's going to have even more probiotics in it. But mm-hmm. I think, and especially we're talking about raw goat's milk and raw cow's milk, because otherwise you pasteurize it, you kill all the good stuff.
Right.
I'm with you.
So maybe that's the first place to start, is with the, you know, either Answers product or a local organic, or even if it's not certified, and then move into these specific different organisms.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you.
And then the other thing, another question of mine is, what is it that the bacteria do that causes those tight junctions to open up? Do we know?
I don't know. I mean, the probiotic bacteria create the short-chain fatty acids that feed the enterocytes. So I imagine that keeps them healthy, and that would keep tight junctions healthy. And if you have too many bad bacteria, you're going to have not enough good bacteria. And so it might just be a matter of balancing, feeding the enterocytes. That would be my idea of what happens there.
And what about other fermented things, like if your dog would eat sauerkraut? And what about raw green tripe?
Yes. I mean, all of those things. Again, I don't know how many dogs would have a taste for sauerkraut, but if your dog did, I think you're going to be better off with yogurt or goat's milk or something like that.
Okay, rather than a fermented vegetable.
I mean, if your dog will eat it, that's great.
Right. Okay. And green tripe, that
sure.
should have bacteria in it, right?
Yes. And now, digestive enzymes
as well. Now, Answers goat milk comes frozen. Does that kill the bacteria?
Well, according to the people at the company, it doesn't, and they've done studies both ways. So, and I mean, I've been using it, and it seems effective. To me, the proof is in the pudding. So if it works consistently, then, you know, I stick with it.
Good. Okay. Excellent. And if an animal is getting antibiotics, would you agree that it's be a great idea, Sarah was asking about this, that it's a good idea to double or even triple the probiotics that you're giving? Does increasing the quantity help?
Yeah, and you know what? I saw a study that there was a specific probiotic that was especially resistant to antibiotics, but I can't remember what that is. So that might be something to look at as well. The other thing is to not give the probiotics and the antibiotics at exactly the same time. I usually tell people to separate them by 2 hours. Now, that's a little bit of a guesstimate on my part. I don't really know how many hours you would need. The thing is that you're kind of bailing out the ship at the same time you're poking holes in the bottom of it. You know, the antibiotics are poking holes in the bottom of the ship, and you're scooping it out with the probiotics, if you understand the metaphor there. So, you know, it's of limited helpfulness to give probiotics at the same time as the antibiotics. The real benefit is giving it after the antibiotics are over with, to try to repopulate the gut with the good bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting, because so often it's become a very common thing among very conventional people that if you're on antibiotics, you need to take probiotics at the same time.
And I still think that's a good idea, but it's even, you know, it's important to continue that beyond after the antibiotics too.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense.
And I think it's funny that conventional people are jumping on board with probiotics. I mean, 15 years ago, we were all quacks for recommending probiotics.
Right.
Funny how things change.
And glucosamine and omega.
Fish oil. And on and on.
Absolutely. Yep. Any difference about soil-based probiotics? I'm not sure I've heard of soil-based probiotics.
I have heard of those. And ultimately, I think, you know, all the bacteria probably come from the soil. I know there was a Garden of Life, I think, is a company that specializes in soil-based probiotics. I'm kind of like you, Christine. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I think that there's probably value there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And given that we like the idea of having animals healthy enough that whole foods take care of everything, do you think with our environment that every animal should be on a probiotic and a prebiotic, or just a probiotic, or only if they're not perfectly healthy?
I think that probiotics are the missing nutrient. And by that, I mean, I think every animal can benefit from probiotics every day. And what I usually recommend to people is to switch around, because I don't know that any one supplement has everything in it. And so if you switch around, then you're kind of getting more diversity that way. And I haven't focused as much as on prebiotics, but yes, you know, I think that's important as well.
I feel that's important to switch around for any kind of supplements that you're doing on a regular basis. What if you're doing something like the Purina Calming Care, which is it just that one bacteria?
Yes.
And would you do that and, in addition, one of the other more complete probiotics?
That's probably ideal. I don't know. I mean, it seems like in this, so this is kind of the pharmaceuticalization of supplements, where you're taking the one thing that we know has a certain effect. And so I don't know if you diluted with other probiotics, if that would dilute the effect of the, you know, pharmaceutical drug that we're creating here.
Oh, God.
So I haven't experimented with that yet.
Okay. And again, for everybody, keeping a journal, writing down the symptoms, that's just so critical, because as you can see, it depends, as we always say, and each animal is unique. Each animal is going to respond differently. So there's nobody, even somebody who's researched it as much as Dr. Doug, who can say this animal needs this probiotic only and that's going to work. You go on what changes. What improvements there are? Is the beam getting better? Are they feeling better overall? So that's really, I think that's wonderful. Now, we have 4 minutes left, and I actually want to give Dr. Jeff a minute just to address the whole Empower Hour and Holistic Actions Academy. And then Dr. Doug, maybe we can stay on. And if anybody, we say it's 1 hour until 9 o'clock. So if anybody needs to drop off at 9, they can do that. We'll stay here and ask a few more questions as long as Dr. Doug can stay for a few more minutes, maybe another 15 minutes. Good.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, and I kind of said at the beginning, Christina, what I wanted to say is that, you know, the reason we're here is just what you heard Dr. Doug do, which is reconnecting, you know, the science and the research with what we see in clinical practice and the healing of our patients. And that's what the Holistic Actions members do in these webinars and on the forum and through the other recordings and resources every week. And I just urge you all to take a look at some of the resources. We've got a bunch of information at theholisticactions.com. Basically, we're focusing on the cause, the one underlying cause for all imbalances, whether it's bacterial imbalances or other imbalances. We're seeing the one underlying cause being an imbalance in the vitality of the individual. And as a few people have said in the chat, you know, homeopathy is an awesome tool that scientifically allows us to use all of these pieces of information and then put them all together to make your animals well. And I know I used up a few minutes, so let's go back to questions.
So Dr. Jeff, can you, Francoise has a hand raised. Can you unmute?
Sure.
Francoise, so you can hear the question. It's right up top, it looks like. They're right below you, between you and Doug.
Actually,
on my list.
Yeah, Francois, we all have the ability to unmute, but now you're unmuted. So what's up?
You may have to click the button in the corner to unmute yourself, Francois.
Yeah, no, I did. Unmute her. She might have been referring to the question she asked earlier.
Did we answer it?
I answered the chat. Yeah.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay. And Trish was saying she really wanted like specific guidelines. And I unfortunately, Dr. Doug has already given as specific as we can get. Right.
Right. So we talked about the number of bacteria to look at. We talked about, the NASC seal, or talking to a holistic veterinarian or even a conventional veterinarian that has experience with probiotics to know which ones are good and which ones maybe to stay away from. We talked about varying the sources and switching around. That's really about as specific as I care to get.
Right. And you've got ones you can start with that were on Dr. Doug's slides. You'll be receiving the entire talk. So you'll be getting that in an email. So you'll be able to refer back to that. And also, I'll edit the chat and make a list of the different probiotics that different people have mentioned that they're using successfully in the chat. And for members, I'll post that in the forum.
Great idea.
So, because there are other ones that I suspect you probably don't know about either, Dr. Doug.
Right. Well, you mentioned a couple already, so.
Right. Right. So I've seen about 5 other ones that I haven't used before. Any other questions? You can either raise your hand or chat. Were there any that you think we missed, Dr. Jeff?
Oh, no, not off the top of my head, but I'll also go back through the chat and see if there's any others or a few that were emailed. And I'll probably be answering some directly by email after we're done.
Now, Rosemary also brought up that one way to tell which probiotics and prebiotics, if a prebiotic is needed, is to use muscle testing. Muscle testing, a pendulum, dowsing. This is a good area to do it in because none of them are going to cause harm.
Right.
And so if you get the wrong one through your muscle testing, it's just simply not going to work maybe as well. So this would be a really good area to practice your muscle testing, pendulum applied kinesiology.
Cool idea.
Anything else? Okay, well.
Nope, I think we're all set.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much, Dr. Doug. Really
thank
wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
I really appreciate it. And we will see you all next week. Some of you next week. Thanks.